Hi, Dr. Artella.
Hi, Nia.
In our last talk about weeks, you mentioned that the exclusionary rule only applied to federal law enforcement. So how does it become applicable to the states?
Well, first, let's remember the exclusionary rule. You didn't like it at first, remember?
Yeah, and then by the end of that whole thing, you changed my mind about it. Now I love it.
Exactly. And it was similar in applying this rule to state police actions. The Supreme Court had had many opportunities to do it, including in 1949, but it was not until Mapp v. Ohio in 1961 that they did so.
Oh, so what happened?
In 1957, the Cleveland police were searching for a fugitive and evidence of a gambling operation.
Oh, there's gambling in this establishment. a Casablanca reference.
Yes.
Isn't that the same charge as for Weeks and Katz?
You're right. But this time, the police asked to search Dollaray Mapp's home.
And she consented.
No, she did not. She told them she was not letting them into her house without a warrant.
Good for her.
The police, though, forced their way into the house. They waved a piece of paper in front of her and said, "This is it," meaning the search warrant. She grabbed it and put it down her blouse.
Oh, I can just see that happening.
The police fought to get it back, and it's not entirely clear whether this piece of paper was, in fact, a search warrant or not.
Oh, why do you say that?
The search warrant was never produced at trial and can't be found in any other records beyond a mention in the arrest warrant that had been obtained later.
Ooh, so this is some high drama Dynasty Dallas stuff we got going on here. So what did the police do after wrestling with Dollaray?
I believe it's Dollaray.
Okay.
They searched the entire premises and found a locked suitcase that contained some allegedly obscene materials and photographs.
I bet she said it wasn't hers.
You would be right. Now, understand, she would take in boarders, and a former boarder had left the suitcase behind, according to her.
Okay, so that's not totally unreasonable. So what happened?
She was convicted of having pornographic materials against state law and sentenced to prison for up to 7 years.
Whoa, that is a long time. And I'm confused. What about the First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of pornography, all that stuff?
You'd be right about that concern. And this case was appealed to the Supreme Court under the First Amendment.
Okay, well, but now I'm a little bit confused because I thought we were talking about the exclusionary rule.
We are. And she also appealed to the unreasonable search and seizure by the police, but her attorney had always thought that this was primarily a First Amendment case.
Well, I guess I got that wrong.
That's right. And the Supreme Court gets to decide which issue it will hear and decide on. And sometimes, like in this case, they can focus the decision on whether the police violated the Fourth Amendment when they seized the material from Ms. Mapp's home without a warrant.
What'd they decide?
The case is interesting because it's not our typical case. We get to talk about how an elevator ride changed the Fourth Amendment law.
An elevator ride? So the drama continues.
Yes. The judges had agreed in conference to overturn her conviction on First Amendment grounds because that had been the focus of oral arguments.
So how did the Fourth Amendment get into the mix?
So the ACLU had filed a friend of the court brief that suggested the court could exclude the evidence as it was obtained through a violation of her Fourth Amendment rights. Only Warren and Brennan were interested in the Fourth Amendment issue. And when they brought this up in conference, no one else was interested in this reasoning, so they dropped it.
Okay, so the ACLU came in and turned things upside down, basically?
Yes, not quite. They did it. They put an idea in, and it was the elevator ride, according to the biography of Earl Warren.
So what happened in this elevator ride of mystery? And why hasn't there been a movie made out of it?
Great question. So the elevator ride, it was a casual conversation between Justice Clark and Brennan and Black. And Clark said that Mapp could be the vehicle to apply the exclusionary rule to the states. Clark ended up writing the majority opinion.
So everybody was happy.
Goodness, no. Justice Frankfurter was furious. He had written the decision in Wolf v. Colorado about a decade before that had not extended the rule to the states. Frankfurter argued that the Fourth Amendment issue had not been fully argued and should not be decided in this case.
He lost that argument.
Yes, he did.
So what was the ruling?
In a 6-3 decision, Justice Clark argued that if the exclusionary rule was an effective constitutional rule on the federal level, it would be illogical, given the 14th Amendment, not to extend the rule to the states conducting searches as well. In his opinion, Clark recalls Cardozo's statement, "Nothing can destroy a government more quickly than its failure to observe its own laws, or worse, its disregard of the charter of its own existence."
Wow, Cardozo was a smart guy.
He nailed public corruption for sure.
So were there any other opinions?
Justice Black and Douglas concurred and said they would have reached the same conclusion, but only through the Fourth and Fifth Amendments and not even incorporating it through the 14th.
But it still counts.
It still counts,
okay.
Yes.
Were there dissents? I imagine Frankfurter probably was screaming and yelling in his dissent, right?
Well, actually, he didn't write one. Justice Harlan wrote the dissent. And he focused on old arguments that the Bill of Rights applies only to federal actions and not to the state actions. And it's about controlling the federal government only. So the Constitution should not be applied to the states.
How was this case received?
This case, along with Gideon and Miranda, are considered the most significant criminal law cases from the Warren Court. And while the exclusionary rule came from the Weeks case, it is best known from this case. Dora Lee has been described by some as the Rosa Parks of the Fourth Amendment.
So now we're all protected under the Fourth Amendment.
Not quite. Following this decision, the courts have been slowly eroding the rule over the last 5 decades in cases such as Leon and Nix, and most recently Herring.
Oh, okay. So will we talk about that next time, I guess?
Yes, we will.
All right, so can you brief this case for us?
Certainly. In 1957, the police entered the home of Ms. Mapp to search for a fugitive and evidence about an illegal gambling operation. They didn't find either of those, but did find obscene materials that were illegal under the state law. She was arrested on obscenity charges. At trial, the state could not produce a search warrant, but she was convicted of obscene materials and sentenced up to 7 years in prison. She appealed her conviction under the First and 14th Amendment. The Supreme Court, in a 6-3 ruling, found that the police violated her Fourth Amendment rights by searching her home without a search warrant, and all evidence obtained from such search may not be used in court. They applied the exclusionary rule to state actions. The dissent disagreed and found that the Fourth Amendment does not apply to state actions.
Thank you.